that today. I think I've seen that in lives, and I have seen also that people who really got the stuff and they got away from the Lord and they came back and followed the Lord with their heart. So take your Bibles and turn to 1 John, the second chapter. We're now in the second chapter, and we're going to start with verse 15. Let's stand together as I read to you, as you follow along in your Bible. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time, or the last days. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. So he's talking about a sign there. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. Is that a good verse? But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Wherefore denieth the Son, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may be confident and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteousness, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. You may be seated. In verses 15 through verse 17, the word speaks of loving the world. Don't love the world's ways, and don't love the world's goods. Love the world squeezes out the love for the Father. So I think that what we have to come to grips with is what our mindset is. And so I hope that as we look at this today, we will visit at least what our mindset is about the world. I think that what happens in our lives as Christians is that the devil does not try to convince us just all at once of something, but he takes ground a little bit at a time. He takes a little bit here. And if we do not push him back, he just stays there. He doesn't say a whole lot about staying there, or brag about being in that spot. He just stays there and takes that piece of ground. And then he moves over here, and there's another place that he edges his place, his way in. And if we do not push him back, he just remains there. He just stays there, and he keeps that piece of ground that he has gained. And it happens so slowly and so consistently that we are unaware that it has happened in our lives. Let me give you an example. I've given this several times. And excuse me if I say you. I really mean you and me. Okay? I really mean you and me. So if you, let me give you this example. You and I are watching things on TV that we would not have watched 40 years ago, that we would not have watched 20 years ago, and perhaps 10 years ago. He has gained this ground, and we've not pushed it back. Is that just one area? That's just one little area. Lots and lots of areas that he's working to gain ground in. So he says, don't love the world's ways and don't love the world's goods. What is it that attracts us to the ways of the world? There was a time that I thought these folks that dwelled on separationism was way off into left field. I'm not so sure anymore. Now, we've got to understand that evangelism is not becoming a, we're not to go into some kind of commune and keep away from the world in that way. We've got to spread evangelism. But we sure shouldn't walk like the world or talk like the world or dress like the world or be like the world. Don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Matthew 6 and verse 24 says that no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of the sentence yet, the rest of the verse yet. I want to read that one more time and make sure that you and I are able to grab hold of what it has said. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, it's not what I say, it's what Scripture says. Do you know what that last word is? Well, we spell it M-O-N-E-Y. Money. So there's three indoors that the devil uses to get into the place of control in our life. I'm not talking about that he just runs something past your mind and perhaps you'll think about it and perhaps you won't. I'm talking about an inroad that he uses where he sets up camp, where he's there, where he has built a fortress. And he has a strategic position built in your life and my life. Excuse me. So verse 16 tells us of these three inroads. First of all, the lust of the flesh, wanting your own way. Lust of the flesh, wanting your own way. The lust of the eye, wanting everything for yourself, would be a definition of that. You may have your own definition. And then he uses the pride of life, wanting to appear important. Let's think about mine and your standard for spirituality? Is it worldly or godly? Now, I just want us to think about some land that perhaps we have given up, some area that we have given up spiritually in our own lives. In Romans 12 and verse 2, the Bible says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So, the world is trying to press us into a mold. Have you noticed that? The world wants to press us into a mold and make us like the world. Not like Christ, but like the world. But we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we begin to think and handle things the way that Christ would handle things in His steps. What would Jesus do in that situation? Well, in many of those, we're pretty convinced that we know what He would do, and that's not the direction that you and I would go. It's startling. Then he moves down to the spirit of Antichrist, and he talks about the day in which you and I live now. In verse 18, he uses the term, "It is the last time." Now, he's not talking about the last time he's going to tell them. He's talking about living in the last times. Time's just about up, the Message Bible uses there in that phrase. The last days. So if John was living in the last hours, then what you and I must be living in the last minutes or the last seconds of this world. So how do we know we're in the last times? So he starts using signs. He says, "This is the sign that you can know that you're living in the last days." False religions of the Antichrist are everywhere. And he talked about that happening in his day. It is certainly happening in our day. And he warns the church, Paul does, not to be drawn away from the truth. Would you look with me over in the book of Acts, the 20th chapter? Acts, Romans, Acts 20. Look down at verse 29. Acts 20 and verse 29. "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." So this is what the apostle was worried about. He knew that he was able to spot those false teachers. And when they began to speak, he began to listen and he began to notice, well, that's what they're saying is not right. What they're saying is tickling men's ears. What they're saying doesn't go along with what the Scripture teaches. And so he is saying that he knew that after he left, that grievous wolves, he's talking about false teachers here, would enter in among you, not sparing the flock. "Also of your own selves shall men arise," out of their own group, "speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves." Gather a following. So staying with the stuff means enduring the doctrine. Staying with the doctrine. Staying with what the Word of God teaches. Look at Matthew, the 24th chapter. Is everybody awake today? You've been awful quiet, it seems like. I hope you're not anticipating me hurrying and getting through so you can go eat. That's not it, is it? Matthew 24. And look at verse 4. This is a pretty long reading. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of the sorrows." Talking about the birth pains there. And that word sorrow is the same word used when a woman is about to give birth, that she has birth pains. And those birth pains get closer and closer together, and then the baby is born. When Gwen and I was getting ready to have our first child, she woke me up in the middle of the night and said, "It's time." And I said, "Lay back down, it'll be all right." "No," she said, "you don't understand. We've got to go, and we've got to go now." And we did, and we had a kid. Or she did. Back then, they didn't let the dad in the room or even touch the baby until you got ready to go home. "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Nation will rise against nation, and these birth pains will get closer together. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." And that, my dear friend, is taking place now. "And many false prophets shall rise." So when John said, this is a sign, the Antichrist is a sign. Jesus just got through saying, this is the sign. Many false prophets will arise. And shall deceive many. Folks are easily deceived because they like to have their ears tickled. They want to be able. They want the preacher to say what they want to hear. This will be okay. It's all right. You don't need to worry about that. It's going to be all right. You can do that. Nobody's perfect. They want to have their ears tickled. And so here, Jesus has said, this is just another sign of the last days. False prophets deceiving many, because the iniquity shall abound. Now look at this. This is scary. Because iniquity shall abound. What is that? What is the abounding of iniquity? What is iniquity? Well, it's sin. It's doing wrong. The people who come to a place that call right wrong. We talked about that last Sunday. Coming to a place that they call right wrong and wrong right. Now if you're a conservative, you're wrong some way. If you believe the Bible, you're wrong some way. If you think that people shouldn't live in sin, you're wrong some way. And you're right if you believe it's okay to live in sin. Verse 13, twelve, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Boy, that's a tough verse, isn't it? That's a tough verse. Now look at it. But he that shall endure unto the end. Does that do away with grace? That's not what it's talking about. You endure because you have it. You endure because you have it. Folks, when rocky times comes to your marriage, you don't throw in the towel because you love the one that you're married to. Have we got a witness? Nobody here ever has any rocky times in their marriage. I was talking to a guy this week, and he was talking about marriage. And he's working on my telephone up on the pole. I was running the bush hog and tore the wires down, and he was putting them back. And we were talking about marriage. And he said, it's a lot of give and take in marriage. He was a young guy. I said, I want to tell you something, son. I've been married 48 years, and there's still a lot of give and take. Some of you that's been married 50 and 60 years, you don't have a perfect marriage. I was looking at Bill and Lee over there. I bet you if you was a fly on the wall, you'd discover they fuss too. Or at least Bill said Lee did. I don't think he does much of it. No, I'm teasing. But you stay with the stuff because you have the stuff. You stay with it because you have the stuff and because of your love. And so this is what he's saying. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. He is, it's just proof that he is. The world wants our love. And that love is expressed in time, attention, and expense. Now really, isn't that how you express love? That's how you express love to your spouse many times and to your children? I think time is the most valuable thing. But this is how the world wants us to express our love to the world. And the world wants us to love the world. And it knows how to pay off its lovers. There's reward, you know, to be gained. Did you know that the Bible says that there is pleasure in sin for a season? For a season. These rewards are passed out in prestige and status and comfort. The problem is found in verse 17. It comes with a limited time. It comes with a limited time. So, if I could offer you something that would fulfill you for a little bit of time. If I could offer you something that would make you comfortable for a little bit of time, wouldn't that what drugs does? Is that not what alcohol does? You see, it's limited. The time is limited. You always have to wake up. You always have to get on the other side of it. The world passes away, and the lust thereof. But the Word of God endures forever. So a test for how you and I think, if we're thinking the way of the world, or we're thinking the way of God, is how we measure that success. Would you say the Apostle Paul was a success or a failure? According to my standard and your, what makes a person of the opposite sex attractive? Where's these teenage boys at? What is it, guys? You unmarried guys. What is it that makes the opposite sex attractive? Now, I don't want you to stand up and start quoting, this is what I'm looking for. But really, what are you looking for? Are you looking for what's on the outside or what's on the inside? My wife has a little saying that pretty is as pretty does. That if it's on the outside, I'm telling you, that's going to pass away. If it's on the inside, it's a permanent thing. Same thing with the young ladies that are here. What is it that would indicate God's standard? I'm going to finish this up tonight, okay? So we're going to stop right here. And I want us tonight, I'm going to preach just a little bit, and then we're going to have the prayer time tonight. But I want us to finish this. I want to talk about the false teachers of the last days. And I want us to be able to look at having that form of godliness, but a denial of the power.